Welcome to the Big Careers Small Children podcast. My name is Ferina Hefti. I believe that no one should have to choose between becoming a CEO and enjoying their young children. For much too long, amazing people, like I'm sure you listening right now, have found themselves stuck on the career ladder when they have children. And that leads to gender inequality in senior leadership, because those people don't progress to senior leadership, and the same stale, often male, middle-class people leading our organizations. We must change this together, and I hope that many of you listening right now will progress to the most senior leadership roles that you like, where you can make the decisions that make our world a better place. Outside of the podcast, I am the CEO and founder of the social enterprise Leaders Plus. We exist to help working parents progress their careers to senior leadership in a way that works for you and for your families. We have free events and resources on leadersplus.org, where you can download helpful toolkits such as on returning from maternity leave, share parental leave, securing a promotion, dealing with workload challenges, or managing as a dual career couple. We also have an award-winning fellowship community, which is global, for working parents who have big dreams for their careers but don't want to sacrifice their family. You'll join an absolutely wonderful group of people, a very tight-knit, supportive group of parents who have your back. Together, you'll explore what your career aspirations are, and you'll get advice from senior leaders who are also working parents about how to achieve those aspirations. You'll get new ideas to combine your hopes for your careers with your hope for your family, and you are supported by people who are experiencing what you're experiencing yourself. I'm really delighted that a larger majority of our fellows have made tangible changes following the program, be that becoming more senior in their roles, working shorter hours, having better flexible working arrangement. They always impress me so much with the courage that they instill in each other to do what is right for them without apologizing for having a family or apologizing for wanting that top job. Details are on leadersplus.org/fellowship. Today I'm talking to Ahe Serhal about combining a big career with twins, about traveling internationally, about how she came to peace with guilt, and what she's learned about progressing your career in an environment where you don't have family nearby. Enjoy the conversation. A very warm welcome ahead to the podcast. Let's start with you introducing who you are, what you do for work, and who is in your family.
Thank you, Verena, for having me on this podcast. So my name is Ahed, and I am an HR director at La Prairie, looking after supply chain and R&D. I'm originally Lebanese, born and raised in Beirut City, but I have been out of my country for the past 13 years, living as an expat in two different countries, for 10 years in the UAE in Dubai, and for 3 years in Germany now. I am a working mother, so I have twins who are 10 years old, and since they were born, I've always been working. So I have lots to share with you about how do I handle my day-to-day activities as a working mom.
Wonderful. Let me ask you a question that I'm asking all of our guests, which is, what did you used to believe about combining a big senior career with children that you've changed your mind on?
I always thought that it's not possible to grow and develop further within your career being a mother. I grew up in a family where my mom was a working mother. So I had a working mom. She worked for the government and she stayed in the same job for 25 years. And that was the picture I had in mind of how does a working mom looks like. So it's a job that requires you to be out of the house while the kids are at school. By the time they're back, you should be back and you're available for them at all times. And so on, no business travel, nothing as such. And I think as my kids started growing and I started reflecting on my childhood and on how I looked at my mom, whom I really consider as my idol, I realized that she's done as much as she could, but what I needed was slightly different. So I do appreciate everything she has done, but what I really needed was not that. I needed someone that I can look up to, someone that I can learn from, someone that I can approach when I needed help, specifically work-related, when I was going to university, what major do I want to go for, applying for my first job, how do I prepare myself for an interview, and so on. It was never my mom that I reached out to on these topics. And then I realized that I want my kids to reach out to me when they have such questions. I want me to be their go-to person, or of course their dad. So that's why I thought I need to make something about my career so that my kids can look up to me and always approach me for any questions they might have. Mm. And that was the shift, to be very honest.
Interesting. Can you remind our listeners, when you had the kids, at what level roughly were you at? And obviously you are now an HR director in a global company.
So when I had the kids, I was working as an HR manager. I had my boys in 2015. It was very difficult for me to go back to work. I had twins, so it was really difficult living as an expat, no family around, no support to go back immediately to work. So I had to take a career break for 1 year, and then I went back to work afterwards. I have to say, I went back to work super motivated and excited to be back to work after 1 year, not because I wanted to get rid of my kids or anything as such. On the contrary, I really enjoyed that year with them, but because I really felt like I want to do something about my life as well for myself and for my kids. So I was really excited and super motivated to be back to the workplace. So I rejoined the workplace as an HR business partner. Afterwards, I developed into a head of rewards and performance for Middle East and Africa. And that is when I started traveling. So my kids always knew that mommy is on a business trip, and I made sure that they know. So it's not like they wake up in the morning and they don't find me at home. They knew that tomorrow morning you're not going to see mommy for the next few days and so on. Then I took over an HR director role for global functions. And afterwards, I moved to Germany, where I took over an HRBP role. The first 2 years in Germany were mainly focused on German market. So there was no travel required. But today with my role in La Prairie, I'm constantly traveling. So they also know that mommy's on a business trip. And I make sure to plan everything before I leave, so everything is ready for them.
I'm interested. You might not feel like it, but statistically, you are a bit of an outlier. Generally, there's an impact on working moms, sadly, specifically. They're less likely to progress to a senior level mm-hmm. after having had children. And I'm just interested in your reflection. Are there any decisions that you took or any things that you did that really led to you being where you are now with children in tow?
I mean, of course, there's always decisions that you make that get you to where you are. And in my case, there are two things that I always think of. One, the decision to put yourself first sometimes and get that guilt feeling away. It's a personal decision that you make. I mean, you can live with it or you can decide to let it go and just make sure that it's not haunting you at a certain point of time. And the other one is to really think about your career and have that aspiration. So if you do not really aspire to develop further and grow within your career, it won't work. And in my case, it was both. So at one point, I decided that it's okay if I'm not with my kids every single day. It's okay if I miss a certain activity at school while my husband joins it. It's still one of the parents are there, so I do not have to live with that guilt feeling. And on the other side, I always wanted to develop further in my career and have a wider exposure and achieve lots of things throughout my journey. I think these are two main decisions that I have made in my life that really got me to where I am today.
What I really find powerful about your story is that you seem to have come to peace mm-hmm. with guilt. Am I misinterpreting that? But just speaking to you, that's the impression mm-hmm. I get. And one thing our listeners often tell me is that they feel a big sense of guilt around the decision to take roles that require international travel. That means mommy is not there in the morning, yeah. even though there is sometimes another half.
Yeah.
How did you come to peace with that? Or am I misinterpreting and you're still wrangling with it?
You're absolutely right. I think I got to peace with it. I'm a very reflective person. And at a certain point of time, I think you need to prioritize. You cannot have everything. So it's either I need to be with my kids 100% so that I get that guilt feeling away, or I need to balance. And I think that's the key. If you manage to balance, then everything should be fine. I can share with you one thing that I have done in the past that really made me feel much better. At a certain point, I realized that I'm not spending enough time with my kids. They go to school in the morning. I don't go to work. I work long hours. I'm back in the evening, barely serve dinner, and then they're in bed. And I wanted to do something different. So what I changed, and it's a very minor change, but it really made a huge impact. I started dropping them to school in the morning instead of my husband. And that drop to school, we used to make lots of memories. So we used to put our own music. We used to take every day a morning selfie and send it to the grandparents. We had funny pictures and so on. And it was really a change maker. It really made a huge impact because then we started building these memories and it really helped me to get away from that guilt feeling because I felt like I'm still doing something with my kids. And I think that's where the guilt feeling comes in. When you feel like you're totally disconnected, you're not giving them time, you're not really present and so on. So I think you really need to think about what works for you because what works for me might not necessarily work for everyone. So you need to think about what really works for you. What is the balance that you can bring into your life? And that's really what helps you to get away from that guilt feeling.
I think you're right. And you mentioned the word balance there. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite surprised that you mentioned that because you've got twins. Mm-hmm. I don't. So I might have the wrong stereotype of how that looks like. But I'm imagining it's full on. And also, obviously, a very busy international job. What do you do to have balance in your life? And also not just for those mm-hmm. two, career and family, but also for yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound perfect. Of course, there are days where I feel like I'm unable to control everything, but I try as much as possible. I plan ahead of time. So I'm a really good planner. So anything I have, and it can be super, super small, like even a business trip for 2 days, I plan for it in advance and I consider everything, not only my business trip, what do I want to do on that trip and so on, but also what does my family need while I'm away and so on. I plan as well the timing. So I make sure that when I'm away, it's not a time that is important for my kids. So if they have something at school or a special doctor's appointment or something like that, I make sure that I am present there. So I think planning is a very important aspect, making sure that you consider everything, you plan everything, and try to minimize as much as possible the impact of you not being present. Mm-hmm. So I think that is the biggest thing I would say. Of course, again, it's not always perfect, but I'm happy with an 80%, let's say.
I think that's a brilliant philosophy. That's exactly what we should do. I'm intrigued. So you mentioned you do the planning also for the family. Can you say a bit more about it? Are there any practical things that have helped you that you do now, but you didn't do 5 years ago?
Two things. One, I have a very supportive partner and we have this conversation regularly. So how do we want to balance and so on? And I always make sure that he is there to back me up when I need to. And two, I manage my calendar with my partner. So whenever I'm away, I make sure that he is informed ahead of time. So he makes sure that he is present and available and the other way around. So if he is not there, he also makes sure that I'm aware and so on. And that's how we make sure that at least one of us is there and we support each other. Communication is key as well, not only with my partner, but also with my kids. So when I'm not there, I make sure that they are aware ahead of time. What is planned for this week? What do you want to have this week? Activities, food, you name it, anything, play dates, etc. So I make sure that everything is also planned and they are aware of it. They choose it so they don't feel like, oh, it didn't happen because mommy is not there. So I think that's the other thing. We constantly talk and communicate.
And one fear some of our listeners have are that the children will say, well, actually, I would rather have a mommy who does this. I mean, to be completely honest, my children certainly do say, well, X, Y, and Z, mommy's coming on the school trip today. Why are you not coming? Well, actually, I'm having a really interesting conversation with Aya today, for example, a real life example from my life as of today. But what do you do to get the kids to be at peace?
Yeah.
Or are they happy? Are they proud of you, would you say?
Yeah. My kids are very aware or they're very interested in what we do. So if you ask them today, what does mommy do? They tell you that she works in HR. And what is HR for them? Or the way I have explained it, I take care of people who work for a company. And that by itself is something that they're really happy with, you know, like my mommy takes care of other people. So I think it's about how you explain to them what you do and so on. On the other side, again, it's about communicating. If they have an activity or these questions, X's mom is coming on a school trip, why aren't you coming and so on. I think explaining to them why you are unable to make it is very important. However, I think sometimes it's important that you are there. So every now and then, whenever I have the time, I try to drop by and do something with them, either me or my husband. We try as much as possible. It's not like we're not present at all. So we try when possible to do something. The move to Germany was actually a big change maker for us as well, because when we moved, it was because of my job. And the kids asked, why are we moving? I mean, we had a very nice life in Dubai. We had our friends, our school, etc. So why are we leaving? And what we did is we explained to them exactly why. And I said, it's because I have a good opportunity and because I want to develop and grow further. So does daddy. And we want to make sure that we give you the best life. If we stay in Dubai, then we all live happily ever after and so on. We're not saying that it's not going to be a great life, but we're not going to be having the exposure that we will have in Germany. You will not get exposed to new cultures, new language, etc., blah, blah. And it's exactly the same case for you. If you stay in Dubai, you have your friends, but you do not learn German. You do not learn about the German culture. You do not experience the life in Europe and so on. So there is something in it for you as much as there is in it for us. And that's how we made peace with the move or the relocation to Germany. And that's how they look into things now. There is always something for all of us in it.
Absolutely. Can you resonate with the feeling of being overwhelmed at times with this desire to pursue a big career, make a difference in the world, but also be the parent you want to be at the same time? If that's how you are feeling, sometimes you are definitely not alone. And in fact, it's not because of you, it's probably because of the wider context. Parenting expectations have shot through the roof in recent decades. In fact, Rutger Bergman says that, to take women as an example, apparently, stay-at-home mothers in the 1970s used to spend less time interacting with their children compared to mothers nowadays who work. And of course, most workplaces, while wanting to be supportive, are still not engineered for working parents to thrive and to get easily to senior leadership roles without burning out. But at Leaders Plus, we believe that we should be able to change this and we should become a movement of people who want to be the difference, create a difference, however you want to call it. And that's why our award-winning fellowships have been designed for parents who have big hopes for their careers, who do want to progress unapologetically, but without sacrificing being present with their children. If you join one of our fellowship, then you'll join a supportive community of like-minded peers who are, as you are, who are ambitious at work, but also want to be with the kids. You'll get practical tools and support, for example, mentors, role models, and most importantly, you'll be able to carve out protected time to think about what you want for your career and family and make it happen. I'm really proud of the impact we've achieved so far. To give you a flavor from some of our recent evaluations, in our recent cross-sector fellowship, 58% of fellows received a pay rise within 9 months. And that's significant because a lot of our fellows, not all, but a lot, work part-time. And sadly, people work part-time, on average, get paid less per hour. In the NHS fellowship, to take another example, 98% of our fellows reported improved well-being and 81% said they felt less overwhelmed by the end of the program. And the stats are very similar across the different programs. We do have scholarship places available for all of our programs. There's a good chance we might actually have a partnership with your employer if you're listening to this podcast. So they might be offering spaces as well. So please, if any of what I've said resonates, I would love to see your application. I think a practical way to do it is probably you can take a quick quiz to figure out which program is right for you and also check eligibility. To do that, you go to leadersplus.org/quiz. That's leadersplus.org/quiz. And that will help you figure out if you're eligible and which program is right for you. I'm really hopeful that if these things resonate, that you can become part of our community in some shape or form. Thank you for listening. And I love the way how you communicate that to the children. That's such a good way of putting it. I might try it at my end. You are also in Germany without anyone helping you. And especially when your kid, you were in Dubai previously without any family nearby. When the kids were young, and I'm sure there were multiple illnesses and dramas at nursery or school or wherever they were. What have you learned about thriving or sometimes just surviving with no help around or no family help around?
I can tell you, I mean, In Dubai, I did have the support, to be very honest, but still not family support and so on. So at certain points, yes, you had to be present despite the fact that you have help at home. Germany was, I would say, a better experience when it comes to how to handle things on my own, especially that my husband also is frequently traveling, so he is not always available to support and so on. And I think the key learning that I have is to be vocal about what you need and what you can do. I can give you an example. When my husband took over his job and started traveling frequently, the first thing I did is I reached out to my direct manager and I said, I need your support. My husband is going to be traveling frequently. During the day, the kids are going to be at school, so I can easily be in the office and so on, but I will need to leave every day early to pick them up, and I will continue working from home. And we had that agreement, so I was in the office every day, and then the afternoon, I would continue working from home. And that really worked. But if I think about it, if I have not really had that conversation, if I did not really openly share, it wouldn't have worked. And I think that is the biggest learning. You need to share, you need to be open about some things, even if it's private or personal. Sometimes it's okay to share so that you can make things easier for you and for others, and to set the expectations right as well.
I completely agree. That's such an important point. With our fellowship program, often that's the crux, getting people to think about what is it that they actually need and then supporting them to have the conversations. In your experience, you're obviously seeing this from both perspectives, in that you are working parents asking for the things, but you're also a senior leader who sees what lands well and what doesn't. I'm interested, have you ever seen people asking for support in a way that didn't land well? What are the mistakes to avoid? Or you haven't seen that so much?
I mean, of course, everyone has his own way of doing things. What I would say, yes, I've seen things that didn't land well, but it was because people were not vocal or open about the exact situation. And again, that is my biggest learning, not only from my own experience, but also from others that I have observed. Just be open about everything, you know, like just be open, be vocal, do not shy away from asking for what you need or sharing what you need, and be open as well about what you can do. So don't set the expectations too high while it's not possible.
And then on the flip side, have you seen flexible working requests that just get waved through and everyone, even though it's a new request, it hasn't been done before, and everyone says, yes, of course, that's neat, you're doing. Is there anything that can be learned from those moments?
Again, everything has limits, you know, like flexibility is great. But as a person, I think you need to set your own boundaries. Don't overdo things. And as a company, you also need to set the boundaries. Yes, we're super flexible, or as a leader, I would say, you're super flexible and so on, but you also have certain boundaries. If we agree on these boundaries as an employer or as a leader and as an employee, things should work really smoothly.
It makes me think, you're quite pioneering, I think, with job shares, which is not... When we talk flexibility, often people think, yeah, you're allowed to go home 5 minutes earlier. Job share is a different situation that is challenging norms of what a senior leader looks like. I'm just curious about how you make people feel that it is okay to try a job share in an environment where that's not common.
Again, I think it's communication. It is providing the right tools to the people to make sure that this works. It is supporting where needed. You can implement a job sharing concept anywhere around the world, but it really has to be supported by the right tools, the right mindset, the right culture. So there are lots of things that you need to put in place to make sure that people really feel supported and comfortable to step into such a role, sharing the same job with someone else. And the way you communicate it, the way you position it is definitely key.
I think there is something about the performance management element that scares people, doesn't it? Especially managers who are not used to doing that. Do you have any advice on how to performance manage? So if there's someone, and even some of our listeners will be unsure of, should I allow a job share in my team? How am I going to manage it if one person underperforms? I know you've worked in different, well, the law is different in every country, but just... as a principle, is there something that can be done to alleviate that fear of not being able to performance manage a job share well?
I think the key is to find the right partner. You know, like if you want to step into a job sharing concept, you need to find the right partner, a partner that backs up or supports with your areas of development. and needs your areas of strength. So the two of you would basically be the perfect match in terms of like, we cover all the strengths and the weaknesses, let me say. I don't know if that makes sense. But I think it's very important to make sure that you have the right partner. You are aligned on the way you want to work together, on the way you want to communicate. If you have a team, on the way you want to lead your team, who does what? You know, like we don't want to both jump into certain topics, what I'm interested in versus what you are interested in. So I think there are lots of things. It's like, for me, it's like a contract that you put in place, you know? So I do this, you do that. We are aligned and we keep each other informed. There's a certain tool that we use or there's a certain routine that we put in place to keep each other updated and so on. But the key is to make sure that you have the right partner. And if you do, I think everything then is going to be much easier.
I completely agree. I want to come back to your experience again with raising twins and take you back a few years when they were still very young and you decided to go back to work. Is there anything that you've done differently in terms of setting up your home environment that really helped you balance your career with twins specifically compared to what your friends might have done who just had one toddler running around?
I mean, I can't say I've done something differently. I think I've done what every single parent does, you know, so I worked a bit around my life to make sure that everything is done in the right way, working hours, planning ahead of time. At a certain point, I moved houses to be closer to school and make sure that it doesn't take me like an hour to drop them to school every day because that hour can be used for something else with them. So I think I've done what every single parent would think of. But again, the most important thing for me is that I was always open and vocal about my situation. So I have twins. Today, my son is sick. I need to be there for them. So I think that was the biggest thing.
I think that is true about being open because so often we're not brave enough to do that. And actually, the support pours in very often when you're saying what you need and also what you're willing to give. Because very often you need to say that you're still ambitious. Mm-hmm. And you want to progress your career. People may make assumptions if you don't do that and if you're not very clear about your hopes for the future. I obviously have an agenda with this podcast, which is I want more people who have caring responsibilities to get to senior leadership level. I don't think it's right that statistically you're less likely if you are a woman and have children, definitely has, especially looking at UK data, that has a massive impact. It's 26% in the UK for a mother with two children. That is the pay gap on top of the normal pay gap, which in the UK is about 13% median. And we don't quite know the data for dads who've taken parental leave or work flexibly, but there are some factors there as well. So taking all this into account, do you have a big wish of what needs to change to have more people with caring responsibilities accessing senior decision-making roles in the same way that people without caring responsibilities do?
I think we're slowly heading there, to be very honest. Today's world is quite different than how it used to be in the past. You have more flexibility. There's more talks and targets around diversity, equity, and inclusion. So all companies are really working on that at the moment and so on. We still have a long way to get there, but I think we're slowly making good moves and we're in the right direction there. What needs to happen, or my wish, of course, is to move away from this stereotype that a working mother is not capable of doing this, or she's busy with kids, or she cannot do it because of her kids or anything as such. I think I wish that we can move away from this idea that kids are actually binding or hindering their moms from developing further. Because in my point of view, having kids is actually the toughest job that one can have. And that's where you learn how to be organized. That's how you learn how to plan. That's how you learn, you know, how to put things in place and get things done and prioritize and so on. So I think it's a great learning and people should look at it more as a positive thing rather than a negative thing.
Somewhere in the back of my mind, there is a blog post that I've wanted to write for 3 years of these are all the skills you can learn and this is how you can sell them. And actually, that's why you should be proud of all the things that you learned. Not to say that people without children can't be fantastic leaders, but it makes you more strategic. It makes you less focused on worried about the small detail and actually look up and focus on what really matters. And that is what adds value to the company quite often. We're coming towards the end of our podcast. So I would like to invite you to reflect on two or three practical things that someone who is listening to this conversation today and wants to progress their career but is working away from, doesn't have the family help, perhaps is like you 5-7 years ago, if there are two or three things that you think they could try out this week to set their career path up for progression?
I think three things. One, accept that there will be ups and downs. I think that's the first thing that I would say. And it might sound that it's perfect on my end, but I can tell you it's not. Of course, you will have days where you feel like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I don't want to be a working mother anymore. I just want to lay in bed the whole day and do nothing. So of course, there will be ups and downs, but it's important that these downs, or after these downs, you come back stronger and make sure that you get the learnings from them and reflect. So one, accept that there will always be ups and downs. It's not always perfect. So that's the first. The second one is, as I said, be vocal about what you can do and what you cannot do and about what you need, because that's key. Be open, be vocal, be transparent. Make sure that you get your things done while you also deliver on what's expected from you. So set the expectations right, let me say. And three is to make sure that you have the right setup. And the right setup is not a rule that works for everyone. It's something that is very specific to you as an individual. You need to think about what really works for me and what doesn't work and what I need to get rid of. I can tell you, for example, with my husband traveling frequently in the evenings after my kids go to bed, I really have some me time where sometimes I just sit on my laptop and focus on things that I really want to think of, or, you know, like presentations or brainstorming certain things and so on. Does that work for everyone? Definitely not. Not every mom can do that in the evening. They have other responsibilities or other things to take care of. But for me, it works. That's the time I have for myself to really think about these things that I need my me time on. I would say really think about, what is the setup that I want to put in place? What is the structure that I want to have in my life? And how do I want to manage my personal life versus my work requirements and accordingly move forward?
There's a lot of wisdom in there. So thank you very much, Ahed. It's really appreciated that you took the time to share your reflections with us. If people want to find out more about your company, more about yourself, where should they head?
You should head to barsurf.com, and that is where you find all the information on our careers page. And in case you have any further questions, you can always reach out to us on LinkedIn, to any of the HR team.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. And I always love to hear from our listeners. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, just go to Verena Hefti, and I'd be delighted to hear your feedback and your suggestions, or just have you say hi. Likewise, if you do feel passionately about gender equality and you want to support a female-led podcast, then please do leave a review and share it with a friend. Just because at the moment, podcasting is still a very, very male-dominated environment. Most of the top-charting podcasts are led by men. I really love all the people who've joined from the podcast or fellowship program. And if you want to do the same, then please head over to leadersplus.org/fellowship in order to get access to a community of support to help you combine an ambitious career with young children together with people who have your back. See you next week.